That's an incredible line to have in a worship song. I'm no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. I don't know where you're at in your journey with God, whether you're giving God a second look or even a first look, or whether you've been traveling with God for a long time. But that's a truth we can bank on. And we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to watch the news and worry. We don't have to see a checkbook that has nothing in it and say, I'm doomed. Instead, we can say, I am a child of God. He'll get me through. Somehow, he'll get me through and lead me on. We pray that that would be more and more what we see people's heart cry to be in this area and even tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, and I pray that you'd help each of us to connect in a very real way to an idea of giving thanks to you. I pray you would help each of us to open our minds and to be clear as we buckle up the belt of truth and look at what we actually have compared to what we don't have, that we can say thank you for what you've given us. Lead us where you want us to go, Lord, and I pray that ultimately we would grow one step closer to you from wherever we are in our journey with you for what we do over the next half hour or so. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to first give thanks because last week I was surprised that Miss Dawn and Miss Tara came down front and presented me with these three albums that I didn't really know what they were at first, but they were albums that contained everyone's sentiments that were written out telling me how awesome I am. And yeah. I was surprised mostly that it could fit in three albums. I thought it would need more. I wasn't sure. I was overwhelming. I'll tell you exactly what happened. We went home after Panera. If we closed Panera, actually got thrown out of Panera. And we went home and we sat on my big old bed and we read those. The whole family kind of read them and so that way my kids would see exactly how awesome a dad they had. So it was very cool and it was overwhelming, you know, to be able to see that and now just to know in writing how the things are appreciated and how they're seen. I want to thank you so much, and for the gift that you gave. I want to thank you so much for that. And for me and Ms. Kelly, thank you very, very much. Now, Thanksgiving is standing out for me more and more, and I mean this in a very real way. Thanksgiving is standing out for me more and more as one of the most important spiritual commemorations that we can celebrate. In fact, I love the very name, Thanksgiving, the giving of our thanks and to whom we give those thanks to, and that is to God. Now, is that right? Is that what it was designed as? Is Thanksgiving about giving thanks to God? Yes, it 100% is. And it all began with about 100 religious men and women who had grown deeply uncomfortable. These 100 men and women had become deeply uncomfortable with what was happening in their church and what was happening in their government. So in September of 1620, these 100 made a voyage, actually a pilgrimage, to a land where they would be able to worship as they felt, and a land that they would be able to govern as they see fit. Now, unfortunately, the land that they set up in was Massachusetts, and they had only about 40 days until the brutal Massachusetts, New England winter would begin. By springtime, 61, half of the 100 had died. And if the rest were going to survive, they knew they needed to count on God for his help, and that they needed his help very quickly. Well, God came through in a very big way for those 50 pilgrims. And they soon, as the spring came, started to plant. They received help learning how to plant. Mostly, though, they beseeched God for a good harvest. And throughout that summer and by fall, God had supplied an incredible summer harvest and a fall harvest that would eventually sustain these religious freedom seekers for good. They would know how to do it from here on out. So, as the fall ends on this first year, they arrive at the end of this first year, they established a three-day celebration, three full days, which purpose was to thank God. They were going to thank God for providing for their needs and for caring for them, saving them through this harsh first year. Now, there are only two firsthand written accounts of that first Thanksgiving. This is what Edward Winslow, who was there, this is what he wrote. He said, "By the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you would be partakers of our plenty." What an unbelievable year that must have been for them. What a roller coaster. It starts with the excitement of leaving the problems. Okay, the old government, the old church, we're leaving that. We're excited about that. And we're heading to this brand new blank page with endless possibility. But then they have to scramble when they hit land and shelter in. They need to prepare for a winter. They had never seen this kind of winter before in their old world. And then their emotions move again to this crushing defeat of losing loved ones, and probably losing heart in this promised land that may not be what they had promised themselves. But through it all, they had a hope. And that hope was placed in God, and it was acted out in their learning to farm this new land, learning to fish, learning to hunt. And the whole time, trusting God, and this constant beseeching to God, for God to come through, rescue them. And then the elation of the first fruits of early summer. The first ears of corn appearing on the stalks. And the belief that they would indeed make it and master this new land. And then finally, Thanksgiving. A time to give thanks to God for his sovereignty and his goodness. This story, and this practice was so instrumental and so powerful to our nation that the founding fathers in 1777 wrote this. Samuel Adams presented this to the Congress, and he wrote this. "It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of the United States to set apart Thursday, the eighth day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor." That divine benefactor that he's talking about is God himself. Well, thank God for good old Sam Adams. If he hadn't started the ball rolling on this giving of thanks to God Remembrance Day 2 centuries ago, I don't believe we would have procured senatorial approval for it today. But gang, we do have it. And the very name itself shouts out that we are indebted to God himself for our very existence. The holiday is here to stay. And as followers of God, we are to make sure that the gratitude, the praise, and the appreciation are shouted out to our society loud and clear, and that the credit for who is supplying all of our goods goes entirely to God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 instructs us this. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, Westbridge has always been a very thankful church. I believe part of our thankfulness stems from the real simplicity of this church. We have no building, but we are thankful merely to be able to meet somewhere. We have to set up. We have to tear down every week. But we're thankful. We're thankful for a trailer and for rolling bins that were given to us to make all that easier. We're not really run by professional experts, but rather we are run by a happy group of worker bees that we all thankfully can relate to and that we all qualify to be a part of. Sometimes wanting is better than having, and we have learned that here. So as we live out this giving thanks to God in all circumstances, let's break our thanks down so that we can cover everything. Let's make sure we're doing just what this verse tells us, thanking God in all things. And the first thing we need to remember is this: to thank God for your past. Now, a couple of years ago, my wife talked me in to joining Facebook. And honestly, it is really very easy to see the good that it can bring. It really does bring good, and it's what I've seen in my use of it. But one of the features of Facebook that it does automatically took me by surprise. And it caught me totally off guard one day. I clicked on my Facebook icon a few months ago, and immediately a memory and a picture popped up from the past. I didn't ask for it, it just did. It was a moment that I had long since stopped thinking about. What was so cool was that this Facebook action caused me to stop and, with a smile on my face, reflect on that moment. Was it really that date? Has it been that long since then? Was the weather really that much different than it is today in that picture? How is that person? How are they doing today? And have I checked in on them? What were the events that led up to that picture, and where did we go after that picture? Without realizing it, that crazy little Facebook app had become a tool that collects and shares important or uplifting moments with the people I care about. What that little automatic memory collection service did was send me back into my past, where I could thank God for a specific event in my life. Now, this is not a Facebook commercial, but in all honesty, I have to say, I don't know of anything in our lives that regularly offers that kind of spontaneous help for being thankful for our past. I don't know of anything that does that. It's almost a monthly happening now when some super cool memory or blessing pops up on my screen and hits me in the face. Whether it's a picture of me and Katie and Disney, it pops up and I say, I remember that. And I stop and I thank God for that moment in my past. Whether it's me and KK at Comic-Con, browsing through $2 comic books, I say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that day. Whether it's Cody thrusting his helmet in the air, winning the division title, thank you, God, for that incredible moment. Or me and Miss Kelly dancing at a gala. Thanks, Lord. You're the best. Gang, I truly believe that a day to remind us to give thanks for our past is about as important a holiday as we can possibly have. Thanksgiving was established to put a smile on God's face. It was created so we could exercise our gratitude with humility and with respect to God. It is a day marked to appreciate God. And that's what we are supposed to be doing if we're doing it right. So gang, when you look back at your past, I encourage you to look at the good. Look at the moments that you thought were picture worthy. Those evenings where the colors in the sky were so cool that you had to snap a picture of it. Those friends that you love so much that they fill the memory on your phone. Think about those days, those adventures that God took you on, and give God thanks for all of it. But do it all year long. Keep that app running. And give thanks to God in all things, at all times. I'll be so bold as to say this. If you don't have Facebook, get it. Yeah, go ahead. It's free. You don't have to be anybody's friend. You can just go ahead and collect your memories. Enjoy them yourself. I'll be your friend if you want. Right? Just the capacity to collect memories and for this providential ability to throw you back into your past regularly where you can give thanks to God, well, that seems worth it. After all, Paul wrote, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Who doesn't want God's will? That's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Next, thank God for your present. This is where we live today with excitement, with hope, and with boundless possibility. Thanking God for today involves being present in the moment and aware of the actions that we are living. It means thankfulness in our present and focuses on the fact that we are going somewhere, but we are enjoying the ride that we are on now. Let me make this a little clearer for you. There are really two things that can trip us up when it comes to thanking God for our present. Two things I notice that trip us up a lot. The first thing is looking past our present. That can trip us up on thanking God for the present. We're looking past the present. I have been taking a 6.5-hour drive to Virginia a lot recently, and the past, I can look past the present easily on this trip and miss all the thankfulness that's involved. Because you see, it's easy on that drive to have an I just want to get there attitude. I don't care about the 6.5-hour drive. I just want to get there and see what I want to see at the other end. And that means looking past a present that shouldn't be looked past, which is a beautiful ride that God has us on through the Shenandoah Valley. It shouldn't be a pain in the neck. It should instead be something giving thanks for. Thanking God for the beautiful car that he supplied that I can drive in. Thanking God for a gorgeous day of sunshine. Thanking God for good roads, good food, incredible scenery. Gang, we must be thankful for where God has us at on our journey. If you're in school, be thankful for where God has you at in this journey. Don't longingly seek for it to end without enjoying that leg of it. If you're in a transitional job, learn what God has for you there and be thankful. Be thankful for that job that he's providing at that moment. A second stumbling block for us in this not thanking God for our present, a second one is this: being stuck in the present. Friends, it for me has been very exciting watching people grow and watching people mature. I am just thrilled watching this happen. It is a very cool present watching people fulfill their lifelong dream of becoming police officers. It is a very cool present watching people move from high school and then on to college with a plan for life. It's very cool this present that I'm in, watching people buy homes and start families. Each of these people are not stuck in the present. They are moving through the present. They are addressing problems, but they are moving. They're achieving new levels in life. They're not stuck. And that makes them very thankful for the present that God has them in. If you're feeling like you're stuck, are you stuck in your present? Well, then I encourage you, talk to God and target one item that you believe has you stuck. And then, once you've targeted that item, get some counseling. Get some counseling from an elder here, one of our teachers on a teaching team. Get some counseling on that. The key to getting unstuck is really pulling just one foot out at a time, not focusing on where we're going to get to. One step at a time. Gang, that's what we are all really doing here, aren't we? We move forward with God. Our present is filled with things that God is showing us to do that pull us out of the mud and into the full life that he has for us. Don't get stuck in the present. Instead, give thanks for it. And remember, the past is a place of reference. It's not a place of residence. Give thanks in all circumstances, Paul wrote, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Lastly, giving thanks to God for our future. I like to think of this as thanking God for the future that he has provided for us, our life in eternity with him. The Bible makes it clear that heaven is a very real place. We will be going there. Jesus himself is there preparing it for us. I know for me, I am very focused on the work that God has for me to do here. In this incredibly short time that we have here on earth, I forget to bask in the wonder of where we are going, where we will no longer be the crazy ones, where we will serve as co-heirs with Jesus himself. Thanksgiving provides a beautiful opportunity to give God thanks for all that the future holds. Every glimpse that God has provided for us to see what life will be like with him forever. Those first Thanksgiving patrons in 1621 must certainly have remembered the long voyage across the ocean. I'm sure they gave thanks for their safe passage. They must certainly have recounted the harshness of that first winter. And they must certainly have remembered the grace of God in every rainfall during that first planting. But in all that remembering, Jesus himself pointed out what must always be remembered first and foremost. And that was his offering. His offering of himself on the cross to pay for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is something that we want to do tonight, to remember Christ's gift. I'm going to ask Mr. Robert and Mr. Darrell to come down. Jesus left us this sacrament where when he was with his friends on that last night, when he had the opportunity to be with them, he did this. He sat at a table and he took bread and he broke the bread. He did this picture for them to say, this is me. This is me being broken for your sins. And they knew it was coming. And then at the end of the meal, he took a cup. He said, you see this? This represents my blood. My blood is going to be shed for the forgiveness of sins and to write a new contract written in my blood. A new contract where you can know God. You can come back to a relationship with Him where we no longer have to live in fear, but we can be children of God. All that is accessed through faith. We choose to believe that. We choose to hand Him our lives and say, you be the Lord of my life. You are the God of this universe. You are the God of it all. Be the God of my life. Through faith, we access that. If you haven't done that, you can do that tonight. It's something that happens between you and God. It's not something that happens with other people. It's just a moment between you and God where you humble yourself and let down your guard and finally say, I admit it. I have made some blunders, some mistakes, some sins. I've done what God didn't want me to do, and I need that forgiven. And I believe that Jesus' death on the cross is what would wipe that away and make me a co-heir with Jesus Christ in heaven. You do that in your heart. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that now. As the band plays, and as everyone comes down who would like to take communion, take the bread and take the cup. Take it back to your seat, and we'll receive that together. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for giving us the time to remember to give thanks to you for all that you've done. But the ultimate thanks we have tonight, Lord, is to thank you for restoring a relationship. Relationship that we can have with God. You said that although we've been born once, we need to be born again. And this second birth is a spiritual birth that happens when we believe that you are the Son of God. You paid for the sins that we know we've committed. And we say yes. We want to access that gift. We want to receive it. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to remember what you did and also to live it out. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread together. Goes on to write, "In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup, it's the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." What Jesus purchased for us. It sounds so simple to just take faith in him. Well, he made it simple for us, but it wasn't simple for him to make it happen. It took his death on a cross, the shedding of blood, which is what's required to remove sins. It took that to allow us to access God, to have that new life that he calls us to. And Jesus says, don't forget that I did that. Instead, take the cup. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup together. Lord, we truly give you thanks. And I thank you for putting us in a nation that actually makes this a national holiday. The giving of thanks to God for what he has done to establish this country and what he has done to establish his son as the way to God, the way to eternal life, the way to heaven, eternity, where there will be no more tears, no more crying. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us to engage the idea of thanksgiving from our past, and our present, and for our future. Would you stand and sing together with us? Lord, I pray that we would continue to live with hearts of thanksgiving, that we would be people who look at our past and thank you for it, that we would be people who live in the present knowing that you're moving us through this amazing time, taking us to somewhere, but that we are enjoying the ride. And Lord, we thank you for what's coming in the future. I pray that you keep your hand upon us, Lord, as we leave this place. Keep us strong through the power of your Spirit as we head into the weekdays. And I do pray, Lord, that you bring us back together here next week where we can learn more of you, who you are, and what you designed each of us to be. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. See you next week.